Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
Obviously, Westbrook, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, you know, they have Adams, they have really good players. I think the key is really controlling Westbrook, you know, try to get him out of the paint, because when he gets to the paint, first of all, he can finish, and then, you know, he's a really good passer, finding three-point shooters, you know, especially Paul George.
Hey, that guy by the name of Russell Westbrook, he's a pretty good basketball player. The last time these two teams met in November, he hung 37 on the Orlando Magic, but he was outdone by Aaron Gordon, who also posted 40 points that night. That night, the Magic snapped a 9-game losing streak on November 30th as they topped the Oklahoma City Thunder. In their second and final matchup of the season, they will try and do the same. Last time these two teams hooked up at Chesapeake Arena, how about this? Magic came out with a double overtime victory that night. The hero was Serge Ibaka. Orlando looking to reignite some magic. Hey, this is Magic Drive Time presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic. On today's show, we'll talk about Nick Vucevic, Aaron Gordon. They're back into the fray. We'll be joined by the one and only Dante Marcantonio in a matter of 10 seconds. And we'll also talk some magic hoops. So now that we got everything out of the way on the front end, let's go ahead and welcome the one and only Dante Marcantonio. And Dante, I'm going to tell you something, because I'm having a little bit of a rough day. You know, over the course of the weekend, it hasn't been announced, but it's been reported. You know, in the NFL, when they make these trades, you can't announce them until the new league year comes about. The Chiefs dealt away Marcus Peters, who's over the course of the last three seasons has led the league as far as total interceptions with 19. And all they get back are a second and a fourth round pick. Am I supposed to be okay with that?
No, but unfortunately, that's the way of the NFL. Very seldom do you get a player in return for a player. Isn't that the case? And a second round pick is an extremely high value. A first round pick is coveted, and you don't ever get those for a player. But it sounds like for a guy like Marcus Peters, they should have got at least a first round pick. But a second and a fourth. Yeah, that's disappointing. If the guy's not happy and he's going to hold out, or you decide to go a different direction, you're at a point where you got to get what you can for him. But boy, it stinks to lose, especially a fan favorite and a guy that was so productive.
I was going to say,
and you lost your starting quarterback.
I know. What is going on? I mean, you're in the heart of the Midwest, and Oklahoma City is right kind of in that middle between the Kansas City Chiefs as well as the Dallas Cowboys. And so I was certain everybody there would kind of be up in arms about it, too. But they got a good basketball team to watch in this Thunder team, Dante. And you kind of look at it, and, you know, when we saw them at the end of November, I thought there was a lot of questions about which direction they might go, whether or not they'd be buyers or sellers at the deadline. And, you know, we're about 2.5 months later, and I think we're all still kind of scratching our heads that you see the potential of what this Thunder team can be, but then when you look at where they are in the West, you're like, why aren't they higher?
Yeah, well, they've struggled the last 10. I think they've won four, or they've lost six out of their last 10. But since we saw them, it's interesting you mention that. First of all, that's the day we lost Terrence Ross. It was in that game.
Yeah.
He takes that shot to Russell Westbrook in the leg and then falls awkwardly on that right knee. We had no idea we'd lose him for this long and still a few more weeks away if we see him at all this year, which would be disappointing if he couldn't come back. But since that game, the Thunder went on a little bit of a tear. They're 26-15 overall, which is fourth best in the NBA. So they have poured it on. The only teams that are playing better than them or have a better record are Golden State, Houston, and Toronto. There's no shame in that. So they've been very good, and they have done a good job of figuring it out. Carmelo Anthony has taken kind of he's fine playing the third wheel. At the end of a game, he's letting, you know, Russell Westbrook or Paul George kind of take over and do their thing. The thing that really hurt him is Andre Robertson, losing him because of what he was literally, by statistics, if not the best defender, one of the top three best defenders in the league, and they lose that. They're trying with Eustis to replace him. He's in the starting lineup. Terrence Ferguson has not worked out at all. It's been a train wreck as far as that goes. But there's a lot of question marks, a lot of but still, even that being said, they're two games out of what, fifth place in the fifth place.
Yeah, and they're three games out of third place.
Correct. Three games out of third. So they have an opportunity to make up some ground. And I But this guy, this pit bull and Russell Westbrook running the show, I don't doubt that they're going to make a very big late season push.
I was going to say, Dante, if you're any team in that Western Conference right now, specifically, you know, whether you're the Warriors or the Rockets who sit 1 and 2 in the Western Conference, and you're looking down and you're like, man, Oklahoma City's sitting there at 7 and I could have to play them in the opening round. Nobody wants to see them in those first 7 games.
No way. And as of right now, they're 7th, right? So they'd be matched up with Golden State, which would be an absolute dream, right? For the NBA, for fans. You have Durant coming back here to play in OKC. I don't think they could beat Golden State. I don't think there's any shot. But what a heck of a first round that would be. But I still think they've got more to do. I think they're going to pour it on. This is kind of the dog days of the season for them, for teams that know they're going to the postseason. They'll make a run. I don't know that they'll host a first round, but they'll certainly get up at least to 5. But who knows? If they catch fire, maybe they will be the third or fourth best team in the Western Conference.
Right now, talking with our very own Dante Marcatelli. He's in Oklahoma City tonight as the Magic get set for an 8 o'clock tip time against those Thunders. You can catch it on the Magic Radio Network beginning at 7:30 or on Fox Sports Florida. They also get underway at 7:30 as well. Dante will host that. Okay, Dante, let's transition a little bit more because this Magic team right now has so many evolving pieces, so many pieces coming back into the fray that are still waiting to get there. And, you know, the last 2 games, we've kind of gotten to watch Nick Vucevic as well as Aaron Gordon work their way back into the rotation. I thought Aaron's first game back, he looked like a guy that hadn't played in a while. And
right,
then I thought
right,
the
right.
other night in Philadelphia, he kind of got back on track. That's a good sign for the Magic, what we saw in Philadelphia with him, at least.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, in one of his best games of his career, the 40-point effort, which you alluded to in the open, came against these Thunder the end of November when the Magic were absolutely rolling. They were off to a terrific start, and then things kind of got away from them. But they were at least, you know, still in it and you know, kind of putting together a strong start to the season. But, yeah, Aaron Gordon, you know, his first game, he kind of forced it a little bit too much. He turned it over a little bit. He was going one-on-one too much, which is tough for a guy that had missed 9 games with that hip injury a couple of weeks there, and then to come in and kind of force it too much. And the team was off to a terrific start in that first half, 69 points. And then I thought he went way too much one-on-one in the third quarter. Some other guys involved in that as well. But that's where it hurt him, and that's where that game got away from him. And then to bounce back like he did in Philadelphia, you could see he was making a concerted effort to pass the basketball. He finished the game with 7 assists, but he scored when it was there. He took advantage of opportunity. That was a very good defensive Philadelphia team, and Aaron had no problem. But again, this is what we've talked about all year and really for 4 years now of Aaron Gordon. When he plays comfortable within the flow of the offense, doesn't force it, isn't always looking for his shot first, then tremendous. You see tremendous signs of what this guy can be, but it's just they're all guilty of it. When points are hard to come by and they put their head down and dribble the basketball and try to get to the basket, try to do everything on their own, or rush a shot early in the shot clock and get the offense out of their rhythm, out of its rhythm, then that's when we have problems. So I think, you know, it's been really Aaron's career materialized in those 2 games back. We saw kind of one side, and then we saw what he can be against Philadelphia. So again, he's going to work his way back in. He's got to get his rhythm back, and I don't doubt that he will, because as we all know, these are a big 23 games for Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, exactly. Especially coming up in a contract year. And I guess my next question, a follow up to that, Dante, is, you know, when you look at 2 guys like Nick Vucevic and Aaron Gordon that you're putting back into this rotation, those are 2 guys that need shots, that need to touch the basketball routinely. How hard is it for everybody else to try and work them back in to make sure that they get them in a rhythm and they're making a conscious effort, because they spent 1 month, 2 months out without these guys playing basketball, and that's very hard to work guys like that back into the rotation?
No, it is, but it would be more difficult if there wasn't such a familiarity. You know, these are guys, Nick Vucevic, this is year 6 for him, and for Aaron Gordon, this is year 4. So these guys have a comfort level with the guys on this roster, with this team. They know what to expect, so that helps. But still, that being said, everybody's role changes. You know, Mario had started 6 straight games. Now he's coming off the bench. Bismack Biyombo had started 23 games. Now he's back to a different role. Kem Birch was playing 18, 20 minutes a night. Last game he gets 5. You know, so you are changing things. You are getting different roles. Wes Iwundu's minutes go down. Now, at some point, it's not going to be tonight, but you're going to get Jonathan Isaac back, and someone else is going to lose some minutes. So there's going to be more transition as we move forward. Now, it's been better for Evan Fournier. A lot of pressure off of him, and defenses have had to key in on Nick Vucevic and Aaron Gordon, so he's been able to thrive a little bit. Had 25 in the loss to the Knicks when both of those guys came back. But Vuce is a guy, yes, he needs touches. It was interesting. We were looking it up today. David Steele noted that 5 feet and in, which to me, I don't know, I think it's a meaningless stat because 5 feet and in, everybody should make a shot in the NBA. but still, 5 feet and in, Nick Vucevic leads the league at 73% from the floor. Next is LeBron James, and then you have James Harden in there. So he's in some good company. Russell Westbrook is in the top five as well. So you've got some good company in there, but he just goes to show he's got a tremendous touch. Around the basket, he always finishes. You get it to him anywhere near the basket, he can finish. I think he's gotten better defensively, but he makes plays. He can hit the three. If he doesn't have it, he's a willing passer. Maybe a little too unselfish at times, and he sets up his teammates. Does a great job of that. So he's a huge part of this offense, and you can run the ball through him. And they didn't have that when he was out. So it's great to have him back. But you're right. With all of that, certainly it's going to take some time to get him reacclimated.
Did you just tease the new Is This Anything segment for tonight's show? Is that basically what you just did?
Oh, don't tell him. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag.
Oh, Ty Easton's going to be very upset, your producer.
That's one. He's got a couple of options, I will say. But that was in the mix this morning. I will say that.
Okay, you kind of talked about people having to adjust to new roles. Now, Mario Hezonja and really Wes Iwundu, I thought, had shined bright kind of while these two guys were out. Wes Iwundu back in Big 12 country tonight, of course, went to school up the road in Manhattan, Kansas, at Kansas State. But particularly for these guys kind of adjusting the roles, Mario's back on the bench. I thought we saw some good things from Mario as far as commanding that second unit.
Sure.
And really Wes
sure.
Iwundu defensively.
Yeah, and that's been the thing. We're looking at it. I didn't realize Wes Iwundu's played in 35 consecutive games. There aren't many Magic players that have played in that many games, just a handful. So he's been consistent. He's been out there. He's played. He's brought defense. He's brought energy. He's not a guy that's going to give you a ton of points, but maybe that'll come. He was a guy that did that at Kansas State, so maybe he'll have an opportunity to do that here down the road. But he's been a solid defensive presence. Gets out in transition. He can finish at the rim. So he's been a pleasant surprise. And not much action. He doesn't get a ton of minutes, but he tries to make the most of it when he does. And you know, I was looking at it earlier today because we're going to do a little something on exactly what you mentioned, Wes Iwundu back in Big 12 country. And you know, his probably the biggest win of his career was when K-State took down number one Oklahoma, led by Buddy Hield. They did it at K-State. But he's won big games. He's won big college games. He was a big part of that. He had 22-7, but he locked up Buddy Hield. And I think when you're looking at Wes Iwundu and you're looking at his whole body of work at K-State, I'm sure our brass, that was one of the games that impressed them. This was the best shooter in the game, the best scorer in the game, and Wes put the clamps on him, and they beat number one at home. So I think that's all a part of it, and which I would imagine. I don't know where Oklahoma ranks on the rivalry list for K-State. I'm sure Kansas is one. Oklahoma's got to be right up there, right?
Yeah, they're right in it because Lon Kruger, the head coach at Oklahoma, also skippered and went to school at Kansas State, too.
There you go. So that's a big thing. And then Mario Hezonja we've just been so pleasantly surprised because, Aaron, we've talked about it for 3 years on this show. The guy's been given multiple opportunities, and he hasn't taken advantage of it until this year, until these injuries went down. And finally, he was forced to play big minutes. And man, the game slowed down for him. He didn't force things as much. He still drives you crazy with some of the decisions he makes and some of the passes and some of the missed defensive assignments. But they're getting fewer and fewer. In a couple of games, he really hasn't had any at all. A couple of games, he didn't even turn the ball over. So he's gotten much better. He's learned the defensive rotations. He doesn't force it on the offensive end, and he puts his head down and attacks the basket. And when he gets there, he can finish. So and then when he catches it and doesn't think about it, just catches it and lets the shot fly, he can knock it down. So two games back on the bench, and I thought pretty solid performances. He'd love to be in the starting lineup, but he's still a part of this thing. He's going to get big minutes the last 23 games. He's handling it the right way. And we mentioned if these are big 23 games for Aaron Gordon, they're monstrous for Mario Hezonja, trying to prove to the Magic and the rest of the league that he's a player. And he's going to be looking for a contract here in a couple of months.
Absolutely. He got 27 the other night against the Knicks, and I think it was 24 or 25 in Philadelphia. Okay, Dante, we do have to duck in a quick break. But when we return, I want to talk to you about Jonathan Isaac being back with this team. He played back-to-back nights in Lakeland the other night and had a little bit of a mixed showing. Just a reminder, celebrate Hispanic culture with the Orlando Magic on Saturday, March 3rd. When we host the Memphis Grizzlies on Noche Latina presented by Fairwinds Credit Union. Enjoy Latin-inspired foods and entertainment, and don't miss a post-game concert featuring Grupo Mania. For tickets, head to OrlandoMagic.com/Noche Latina. Duly noted, don't drink coffee before you do a radio show. You mix up your words. We're back around the bend on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center.
Give your child a spring break to remember with an Orlando Magic youth basketball camp presented by United Healthcare.
Fournier curls out right side.
Oh, right between the eyes.
Viva la
France. Expert coaches from the National Basketball Academy instruct boys and girls ages 6 to 17 through fun and exciting drills, live games, and skill development stations. Every camper also receives a t-shirt and a ticket to a Magic home game. Register your child for a spring break camp now at OrlandoMagic.com/youth.
Okay, let's talk about Jonathan Isaac. You know, he plays back-to-back nights in Lakeland, and I really thought the opening night was T-Mac night. You had Jonathan Isaac in the building. You know, there's a lot of anticipation around that basketball game. And, you know, a lot of it was made about kind of his emotion and, you know, him looking forward to getting back to this team. And I go back to my days working in minor league baseball, just how much of a little bit of a struggle that can be for guys that have been with the big league club and then get sent down on an assignment. It's not the easiest thing in the world for them to do because they're not with their team. They're not in the same environment and they perceive it as just getting in their work.
Yeah, sure. But quite frankly, he's missed 44 games. He doesn't really have much say in the matter. if he didn't like it and this is the best plan moving forward, then he's got to do it. But you know what? To your point, it is tough. And he did accept it. And he does understand it. I think he was pretty fine, pretty happy with it, pretty excited about it. The opportunity just to get down there and play. I think the disappointment came from the fact that I don't think he was happy with his performance down there. Now, he hasn't played in months, so as far as consecutive games, certainly. So I think, you know, you have realistic expectations on what he can do out there. Minutes restriction in the first game, 13 minutes, got up to about 18 minutes in the second game. So you weren't expecting a ton. You certainly saw flashes, but then there were times at the end of a game, you know, he's down in the G League. He's thinking he's an NBA player. He's out there and I can close out this game and help my team get a win against Grand Rapids. And that didn't happen. So I think he took a little disappointment in that, probably maybe unnecessarily so, where he's still trying to knock some rust off and get back to a comfort level. His conditioning, I imagine, it still has quite a ways to go, which is why he's not playing here tonight. They're going to continue to work on his conditioning, and hopefully we'll see him on Wednesday. But at the end of the day, Aaron, this guy's got to play. And at some point, you know, we'll get past the injury and he'll be ready to go. He'll be cleared and there won't be a minutes restriction at some point here this season. And that's going to be the best for him. You still have 23 games left. If he can play Wednesday, that's 22. And if we can keep him healthy and in there, don't know what his back-to-back scenario will be the rest of the year or not. But even if it's 10 minutes and it gets up to 25, 30 minutes by the end of the season, he needs reps. He needs NBA reps against NBA players, NBA defenses keying in on him and feel the adrenaline and get that experience. He needs it. This is going to be critical stretch the last month and a half for a guy like Jonathan Isaac. So hopefully he can stay healthy. He's out here. I'm watching him right now sprint up and down the floor. I mean, he doesn't seem limited in any way, but you know, they want to get that conditioning right. They don't want him to further damage himself if he were to play tonight and wasn't ready. So hopefully we'll be able to see him out there on Wednesday.
I was going to say, Dante, you and I talk off air a lot about, and I go back to Aaron Gordon's rookie season with the Orlando Magic.
Sure,
remember he had that, I can't remember if it was a bone break in his foot and he essentially missed about 40 games. Just how much that set him back in year two, because you forget how much of a learning curve there is, especially those first 3 years in the NBA. And when something like that happens, it's really tough for a 19-year-old kid to make those adjustments that he needs night in and night out.
Yeah, sure. Now you do have rare instances where you have a Joel Embiid who missed the entire first 2 years and then looked sensational in his third year, and a guy like Ben Simmons who sat out all of last year. Jury's still out on Markel Fultz, but for the most part, these are huge minutes. Even just being around the NBA club still helps, and Ben Simmons was able to benefit from that last year. But yeah, he needs to get out there, and he said it himself. He needs to get that. He needs to build that momentum. He needs to feel better. And we got to get his confidence up. We got to get him to the point where he's not thinking about that anymore. That's not the story anymore. It's just him going out there and playing basketball and feeling comfortable with his teammates and learning this offense, learning how to defend at an NBA level and everything that comes with it. So I think there's a lot that can still happen in the last few games. And as far as Aaron Gordon, I mean, he was on a roll. He was averaging a double-double, I think, the few weeks leading up to that bone break. Who knows how different everything goes in his development if he's able to finish his rookie year, if he's able to finish it strong, continue to get big minutes. You know, that year was designed for him to get big minutes, you know, and the guy that drafted Aaron Gordon is here in Oklahoma City, and it's Granted, it's disappointing and very difficult to think about that era, but the point is, you got a guy like Aaron Gordon here, who is going to be a free agent at the end of this year, and he's going to be highly coveted. And I think the Magic do have a gem in Aaron Gordon, and we'll have to make that decision at the end of the season. But who knows? Are we further along in his development if he doesn't get injured in that rookie year? It's hard to say, but you would think all those reps certainly would have helped. And we don't know if this is going to set young Jonathan Isaac back or not, or if he was able, a lot of guys can benefit from time off and handling what they need to handle off the floor, still being around the club and being a presence. But this guy needs to play. And whenever they feel he's capable and comfortable being out there, they'll clear him.
And now it's just an opportunity really here as this season moves along to not only work Isaac back in to get Wes Iwundu some more minutes and to also do some experimental things with lineups as this basketball team moves forward. Dante, real quick before we get out of here, this Magic team does have three games coming up at home. And when I look at this three-game run, you got Toronto, you got Memphis, and you got some other winnable games coming up. How important is this next run of games for the Orlando Magic?
Well, I think it is important. I think every game is important. Look at Wes Iwundu, who we talked about a little while ago. Tonight will be 36 straight games. He's played 41 this year. He'll have an opportunity to finish. I would imagine a guy like him, his minutes are going to increase as the season moves on. So what can he learn? What's some of the things that he's picked up in the first 41 games of the season that he can apply here down the stretch run and get his comfort level up going into the break? Are we going to see a lot more of Kim Birch? At some point, are you going to make a decision with Bismack Biyombo, who's a veteran, and if you get to a point where is he a guy that's good? He's going to see limited minutes, and we're just going to throw Kim out there and see what we can get out of him. Is Rashard Vaughn going to have an opportunity on a 10-day contract, maybe a second one if he doesn't play in the first one, to try and prove to somebody that they belong on an NBA roster? And Mario Hezonja, these are enormous minutes for Mario, and then we want to get Terrence back. We want to get Jonathan Isaac back in that lineup. So these guys there's no meaningless NBA games. And these guys still have a lot to prove, and none of them have accomplished anything in the NBA in their short careers. So I think they would all love to get out there and just build something, build some winning habits, build a culture, and just compete at the highest level these last 23 games, and let the chips fall where they may, and just feel good about that, the effort going into the summer.
Absolutely. We had some technical difficulties, Dante, but we got through this. Magic and Thunder tonight should be a fun one, shouldn't it?
All right. Great job as always, AB. And we'll have Magic head coach Frank Vogel on the program tomorrow.
Looking forward to it. Vogel tomorrow, Nick Anderson the next day. All that more coming up on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Magic and Thunder tonight at 8. Thanks for sticking with us. We're back tomorrow with Dante and his chair.